Representativa en Taylor Thomas, Taylor Cuffin, and Hay. Rabbeinu Zal says, Iker Milas Habachia, the best manner in which crying could be effective, he kishihi machmas simcha v'chedva, is when the crying is done out of a feeling of simcha and chedva. Chedva is another word for simcha, an inner type of happiness. V'afilu hacharota toiv ma'oid shetihi machmas simcha. And even the regret that a person feels at times, regret for the fact that they had a yerida, they committed sins, whatever they did, even the regret should be because of simcha, meaning shemeroyev simcha say b'Hashem yisporach, because of the fact that the person is so happy with Hashem, who mischaret, the person regrets, umisgagea ma'oid, and he feels a tremendous remorse, al shemorad negdoi biyomim harishayim, over the fact that he rebelled against Hashem in the first days, meaning prior to this. And the crying is aroused out of a tremendous feeling of simcha. I'm so happy that I'm aware of this now, that it's a combination of regret and happiness at the same time. This is the main ideal manner in which crying could be effective. Shetia machmas simcha, when it's done because of simcha. Rabbi Nezal says, "V'zeh bechia." This is the word bechia. Who Rashi Teva is b'shimcha yegilon kol hayayim. The word bechia makes up the first letters of a pasuk in Tehillim. B'shimcha yegilon kol hayayim. We are ecstatic about Hashem all day. Note it says b'shimcha, with your name, meaning with Hashem. Hashem and His name are one. Hashem echad u'shmo echad, meaning we're ecstatic with Hashem all day. She'ikar ha'bechia, she'tia machmas simcha b'shmo yisporach. The main crying, the best type of crying is when the crying is because of simcha with Hashem. Now Rabbi Nezal explains, ki bechia himisayrer mishem sog shehu bebina. Bechia, the concept of crying, which quality of Hashem does that come from? From Bina. Crying comes from the name of Hashem, the Shem Sog, which is Bina. V'alkein b'chiyo b'gematria hamilui shel Sog, kemuva b'kisvi Arizal. This is why the Arizal says that the word b'chiyo is actually the milui of the name of Hashem, the Shem Sog. What is the name of Hashem Sog? It's Yud Kei Vav Kei, filled out in a combination which adds up to 63. The letters Yud Kei Vav Kei themselves are 26. 26, 63 minus 26 is 37, which is Bigematria Bechia. The word Bechia is the filling out of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which adds up to Sog. Hainu, just a second, let me finish. Hainu, Shehis Eirus HaBechia Tihye Misimcha. That the best type of crying is, well, what did I say? That's what I said. 37. Okay, Rabbi Nezal says, "Hainu shehisayrus habechia tiyemi simcha," meaning that the highest quality of crying is when the arousal towards crying was because of simcha. Why? Rabbi Nezal explains, "Ki bina liba." We know that bina corresponds to the heart. Kemoy shekosav, as the pasuk says, "Halev mavin." The heart understands. So we see the term bina is attributed to the heart. Ve'ikar hasimcha he believe. And what is the main place for simcha? Also the heart. Kamei shekosuv nosato simcha belibi. Umishom tzorech shetia hisayrus habchia kanal. That's why we need that the arousal for crying should be from the heart, from simcha. Vaydeze nimtak habchia. And that's what causes a hamtaka to the bechia. Vahovein, and understand this. If you're cold, close the bottom. Close the bottom of the window. Meaning, Bechia, Rabbi Nezal tells us, where does Bechia come from? It comes from Bina, which means that crying is a concept of Din. Therefore, you have to know that Din is always dangerous. Din is always a negative item. Din is always something to be sweetened. How is the Din sweetened in this case? When a person is zeicha to cry while they're also in simcha, in other words, I regret what I did, and yet I'm happy in my confidence in Hashem. My confidence that the fact that I'm feeling regret, that's a tremendous item. Hashem gets tremendous nachas out of a person regretting what they did. It's that combination of bechia with simcha that's actually Hamtaka Sadinim, and that's what brings about this tremendous splash in heaven. That's what's so effective about Bechia, when it's done in this concept of Beshimcha Yegilim Ka'ayayin, when it's hooked up with Simcha.
He's happy what he has now and regrets what he didn't have. That's
exactly. He's happy, number one, he's happy with the awareness alone that he knows enough to regret what he did wrong in the past. Plus, he's also happy with a feeling of bitachin, confidence. Like Rabbi Zal said, we go into Yom Kippur, not sad, we go in confident. We go in with a feeling of confidence that we're going to come out of it okay, that Hashem does forgive. We don't do sins with confidence. Chas v'shalom. The Gemara says a person who says, I'll commit sins and Hashem will forgive. The Gemara says that person's the worst Rasha almost. But once the sin is committed and you're trying to go in to have it cleaned up, you go into court with confidence, with a feeling of confidence that Hashem is a fair judge and Hashem is chanun hamar belislayach, not slayach, mar belislayach. That marba means more. That much more than the power of din is the power of slicha, and we're certain that Hashem will forgive.
Listen, how would you explain this? You know, like when Israeli soldiers came back from, well, let's say 67, 73, their family, mothers and wives, they were crying, and they were happy at the same time when they came back, especially whole. How would you explain that?
It's a feeling of emotion. In other words, factually, these two come from the same place. Rabbi Nizal just showed that simcha originates in the heart, in bina, and crying originates in the same
could
place.
Possibly, let's say, a wife or a mother, let's say, might have felt maybe done something wrong to a son or her husband, and they feel guilty if he didn't come back?
Could be. It's also a
possibility. I
didn't
mean it's a joke.
I'm saying it's a possibility. Definitely. It's definitely a possibility. That's when people usually start to think things over. When they think chas v'shalom that they're about to lose someone, that's when they start thinking, oh, I wish I could have been better towards them. That whole feeling.
And this is one more question. How does the ekya, which is, you know, tends to be, relate to sug?
It's another, put it this way, number one, Rebbe Zal once mentioned, you note an association right away, you note how all three names are associated. There are three names that we mentioned related to Bina, Ekye, which is 21, the Shame Membeis, which is 42, Maisa Bereshis, which is Bina, Baruch Omer, Baruch Isa, Abba Omer, Ima Isa, and Sog, 63, it's three times Ekye. You have Ekye, you have two times Ekye, because the Tefillin Shel Yad, the Tefillin Shel Raish, the Chof Alav Askol Shel Yad and Shel Raish, three times Ekye is sung. So there definitely is an association.
We'll learn more. Association with those three and Elikim too?
Probably. What it is exactly, I don't know, but Elikim is also used to refer to Bina. Especially Ho Elikim. Ho Elikim is Bina. Okay.
That's feminine.
right. Where else can Bechia come from? No place else. But it could be detached from Simcha. You understand? In other words, there are two things in the heart. There's Simcha and there's Bechia. There's Din. Bina, Din and Nisan, you know. It's conceivable to detach the two. That's why Rabbi Nizal is telling you here that you should know that this item, Bechia, which comes from the heart and everything, you want to make it really great, take with it the other ingredient in the heart, the Simcha in the heart. Definitely, Vayisatzev Eliboy, 100%. This same place, Bina, is the mokor for Atzbus or the mokor for Simcha. No question, because it's Din. The Din can be turned either way. Din means emotion. When we say Nukva is Din, means they're more emotional. It could swing either way. It could be a concept of Simcha or a concept of sadness. Not at all. That's why Rabbi Nizal says that these are two items which seem close together, Lev Nishbor and Atzvus, but you should know that there's a big difference because Lev Nishbor is more on the side of Simcha. Proof is, exactly, that when you finish with Lev Nishbor, it takes you right into Simcha, showing that that's what it's closer to. As much as it looks like Atzvus, it's Rabbi Nizal start, one of the Sichas in Sichas Aran begins with the words that Atzvus and Lev Nishbor are two very, very different items. How different? This one is Simcha, this one is Atzvus. Both the same location and everything, but two opposites. Definitely. I'm quoting Rabbi Nizal's wording that Lev Nishbor and Atzvus are very, very different.
Yeah, and I'm quoting of the Neshama, Rabbi Nizal goes into
that. Yeah. 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 Go ahead. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's definitely too dangerous. We're not capable of doing it in a manner where it wouldn't get us off track, chas v'shalom, to go the other way, to get into Atzvus.
When
Rabbeinu
was for a long period of time Leib Nishma, did you still feel like constantly, like,
100%. 100%. By him, it wasn't the Lev Nishbar Chas V'Shalom related to Atzlus. It was the Lev Nishbar related to something.
So you felt them both at the same time?
100%. No question. Proof is, you see, the fact that he writes about it in such a way, you could tell the understanding that he had of it. That's what it is. Okay, next. Baruch Hashem, Terakufa in Vav. Rabbi Nizal says, this is very interesting, science. Again, Rabbi Nizal displays his knowledge of these sciences. A person has to see to it to be very speedy in chasing out of his heart the ruach shtus, the silliness. That the fact that a person's heart is filled with a ruach shtus that latches on to the heart. How do you do it? Rabbi Nizal says, "V'zeh al yidei sheniskasher lahot tzadik ha'emes." This is accomplished by a person attaching themselves to the tzadik ha'emes. V'hiskashros, what does it mean, mekasher yourself to the tzadik ha'emes? Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hiskashros haynu ahavas nefesh." What we're talking about here, we're talking about a very, very deep love. Mashe oyhev lahatzadik ma'oy. This that the person loves the tzadik very, very much. And it's this extreme love that sees to it that the person's heart becomes nichlal, becomes incorporated within the heart of the tzaddik. And because this person's heart happens to be filled with this spirit of stupidity, the term that's used is ruach shtus. Ruach means a wind, air. It refers to air. The teva ha'avir levakish loy mokim ponui lotzis sham kimavura etzla hamachakrim. The nature of air is that air always travels from a high pressure area to a low pressure area. Air always travels to where there's a lesser density of air. When you create a vacuum, you'll note when you open up a can that's vacuum packed, suddenly you hear that sound. What's that sound? The sucking in of air. Because there's a vacuum there, it's sucking in air. How does the breathing mechanism work within a person physically, biologically, the way they explain it? The diaphragm moves down. It creates a vacuum over here. There's a vacuum. That's what causes the sucking in motion of air. So Rabbi Nizal says the nature of air is that it always looks for an empty space to go to, as is known by the scientists even. And when the air finds a vacant space, a vacuum space to go into, it shoots and smashes with a speed and with a suddenness. The air moves with a sudden rush into that place. V'alkein, Rabbi Nizal says, that's why kishenichlal liboy b'leiv hatzadik. When a person is zeche, a person who has a heart filled with ruach shtus, and he is zeche to have his heart become nichlal in the heart of the tzadik, v'leiv hatzadik hu cholol, and the tzadik's heart is like a vacuum. The Bechina says, David HaMelech said in Tehillim, v'libi cholol b'kirgbi. My heart is a vacuum. It's empty. V'alkein, therefore, ho'avir shel ha'ruach shtus hadovik b'liboy, sheliboy molim izeh ho'avir, the air of the ruach shtus, which was in this person's heart, that his heart was filled with air, hu b'ikeya v'shever liboy b'beholo u'bareach l'chutz. That person, the ruach shtus, the ruach within that person's heart now shoots out with suddenness, with speed. It crashes out of the person's heart and goes outside. Outside the person's heart, because it has found a vacant place within the heart of the tzaddik. You picture the heart of the tzaddik as being this big, the person's heart is this big, the person is zeiche to have his heart be nichlal in the heart of the tzaddik. How? Through the tremendous love that he has for the tzaddik, which brings about a hiskashrus emerging, where the heart's tzaddik incorporates within it the person's heart. Now, there's a vacuum on the outside, and the inside there's a density of ruach. What kind of ruach? Ruach shtus? It shoots out, it crashes out from the person's heart into the tzaddik's heart. Rabbi Nizal says, V'alkein, al yedei shemegareish b'mehirus haruach shtus mikirboi, and because the person is chasing out with this speed, this ruach shtus that was within him, al yedei ze yesh loy lev nishbor, this is what causes a lev nishbor, a broken heart. Ki nishbor liboi al yedei mehirus ubeholas ubeholos haruach shtus lotzeis kanal, because the heart was broken by the speed and suddenness with which this ruach shtus escaped. V'alkein loymotzo lefisho mokim lotzeis. That's why the ruach shtus for a short while it didn't find a place to go. V'alkein nishbar halev. That's why the heart broke. In other words, it couldn't find an opening to get out, so it shoots out wherever it can, like, so it causes a break within that person's heart, sort of. That's what causes the late nishbar, and this is how a person is zeicher to remove the ruach shtus from within him. In other words, understand this concept. You have the lever at tzaddik, which is a vacuum. You have the person's heart, which is filled with ruach shtus. By bringing the two close together, by bringing your heart close to the heart of the tzaddik, automatically your ruach shtus will get sucked out by the vacuum force of the tzaddik's heart, and it'll be dissolved over there. Obviously, he has a dissolving process to dissolve all the garbage, and you're left with a feeling of lev nishbar. You're left with a feeling of a brokenness, a broken heart. Halavai, we should be zeicher to become a kusher to the tzaddik emes in this way, with this kind of ahavas hanefesh that Rabbeinu Zal is talking about, to be able to bring this about. Because this Rabbeinu Zal talks about nikkud halachos. You have, again, people take different approaches to hiskashrus, to a rebbe, to a tzaddik. The approach that Rabbeinu Zal talks about nikkud emaran, and Rabbeinu Zal stresses even more nikkud halachos, and forget nikkud halachos. You read in Yemei Maranat, you see the outstanding love that he had for Rabbeinu Zal. It far, far, far surpassed the concept of the love of a parent for a child, a husband for a wife, a child for a parent. It was far, which is a love. It's not that that's not a love. It's a tremendous love. The Torah speaks about the love that's supposed to exist between husband and wife, between parent and child. But this is something which is way, way above. As David HaMelech and Yenison said, Niflesi Avos Cholimei Avas Nashim, the Ava that existed by Yenison to David HaMelech, who was the Tzadik Emes, was far surpassed the Avas Nashim, the concept of Avas Nashim.
How does he start this? By wanting to get rid of the Ruach Shlus, or by wanting to come close to the Tzadik?
Coming close to the tzaddik. In other words, the key to having the ruach shtus removed from within you is mekasher to the tzaddik. What's the definition of mekasher? Avas nefesh. Ma'ashe'oyev la'atzaddik ma'oid. Note that word, ma'oid.
Didn't Rav Nassenzal express in concrete terms, he said, that for me, Mashiach has already arrived.
Exactly. That's one example of the feeling that he had. Yeah.
The last line,
exactly. The answer is very simple. In other words, usually when the ear has a place to lush out of, it doesn't cause any breakage. Like when you open the kin, there's no break in the seal. Why? Because you gave it an opening to escape from it. Here, the process occurs in such a manner, let's picture in physical terms, you have this small ball, which is the person's heart, which gets placed inside a bigger ball, the bigger heart, the heart of the tzaddik, which is vacuum packed. And suddenly there's the air becomes aware that there's a vacuum on the outside and it wants to escape. And before an opening can be formed to let it escape in a normal manner, it just shoots out. You understand? That's what Rabbeinu Zal is saying here. Because it didn't find a place to escape from, that's why it causes this break. You understand? This breaking.
Well, they just ruptures.
Exactly.
Yeah. In Orbit Fireries, they use, I don't know if you remember, they're called ball valves. The ball goes into a valve and compressed air, like, opens it up and it sizzes out.
Where is this? In what?
It's called ball control valves. They use them in oil refineries.
Oh, interesting.
The same principle.
Okay, exactly. But you see again how all of these principles, scientific principles, can be applied to Kedusha.
It's called pneumatic controls, compressed air.
Baruch Hashem. Next, Torah Kufayin Zayin. Interestingly, this is one of the few Torahs in Likut HaMoran where Rebbe Zal on the Likut HaMoran tapes does a whole explanation of a chapter within the Kisvei Arizal. The whole Seid Kavonas Kaddish is based on this Torah in Likut HaMoran. And Rabbeinu Zal said this Torah because at the time, I believe Rav Moshe Zal had just stopped saying Kaddish for his mother. I think that's what it is. Just stopped, just a second. I'll check it. Right. He had just stopped saying Kaddish for his mother, and Rabbeinu Zal included in this Torah the Soid Kavanas Kaddish, explaining a little bit about the concept of Kaddish, as we'll see soon. Okay, Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah on the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvorecha. Hashem said, I forgive as you have spoken. Moshe Rabbeinu had asked for forgiveness for the Pagam of the Egel HaZohar, and Hashem said, I forgive as you said. And Rabbeinu Zal says, Roshei Tevois Kaisi. The words Vayemer Hashem Salachti Kidvorecha are the Roshei Tevois of the word Kaisi, my cup. kidvorecha. Rabbi Nezal says, it says, I forgive like your words. What is dvorecha? Davar Rosh Tevois Dishanto Bashem and Roshi. The word Davar is the Rosh Tevois of a Pasuk, Dishanto Bashem and Roshi. You have massaged my head with oil. Not massaged, like smeared. Smeared is more word like. That's Dishanto Bashem and Roshi. Okay. Now Rabbi Nezal says, there are tzaddikim amitim who have a power. There are tzaddikim who have a power at times that when they drink wine, with their act of drinking wine, they have the power to forgive for sins through the drinking of wine. Ki Umrazal, because the Gemara says Niyuma Sheyayin Yeshloi Shnei Bechinois, that wine has two properties. Zocho Naserosh, if a person is Zeche, wine gives him an elevation to the Meichen. An elevation to the Meichen. What Shaychas does wine have to the Meichen? Gematra Ayin. Ayin Panam Tua Ketaira. What shaykhis does Yayin have to the Meichen? We once explained a beautiful...
Seven yuds.
That's it. The Meichen are represented by the two names of Hashem within Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ov and Sog are the Meichen. Chachma and Bina. Within Ov and Sog, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, within those two names of Hashem, within the Shem Ov, there's four yuds. Within the Shem Sog, there's three yuds. The letter yud is found three times, which correspond to the Shin Shel Gimel Roshin, the Shin Shel Dalet Roshin. That's this side of Yayin. Yayin draws its power from the seven yuds of Ov and Sog. Yayin is bigamatria seven times yud. So if a person is zeicher, zocho naserosh, ukishenaserosh, hu bechinas moichin. And when it becomes roish, it's a bechin of moichin. Al yedeze hu yochoy lechaper avoynos. And through moichin, you can forgive sins. Why? Kama shekosu, as the pasuk says, ve'ish chacham yechaprena. V'ish chacham yichaprena, the chacham is the one who has the power to forgive. Now note, the chacham has the power to forgive. Who is the one who forgave the sins of Bnei Yisrael? Who's the main one who's given the job within during the year, which is the day on which the sins are forgiven? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. Who is the main one to forgive for sins? The Kohen Gadol. Who is the Kohen Gadol? Aharon HaKohen. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that Aharon, the word Aharon is bigimatria. Now we said that Ov is Chachma. Within Ov Sog Ma Bon, Ov is Chachma. What is the Achirayim of Ov? The Achirayim of Ov is bigimatria. Kuf Pei Dalad, Defek. We mentioned many times the 10 types of pulses which correspond to the meaning of Chachma. The pulse. Kuf Pei Dalet plus Ayin Beis is Begimatria Aharon. Exactly. This the Arizal brings. And the Arizal says this is the side of Ish Chachon Yechaprena. This refers to Aharon HaKohen, who we see that he had this power of Chachma. He had this association with Chachma. He is the combination of Kuf Pei Dalet and Ayin Beis. This is what gave him this power of Ish Chachon Yechaprena, to go up to Chachma to bring about Hamtokas Adin. Just a second now. The Zehu, so we see that Yayin is an Indian of Meichin, that you have a person who could be Zeche through Yayin to get an elevation of the Meichin. An elevation of the Meichin brings about Mechila Savoinos, Vish Chacham Yichabrena. So there are Tzadikim Amitim where at times through their drinking wine they can bring about Mechila Savoinos. The Zehu, this is Pshat when the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvorecho. Rabbi Nezal explains, Ki Dovor Hu Rashi Tevo is Dishanto Vashem and Roishi. The word Dovor is the Rashi Tevo of the Pasuk, Dishanto Vashem and Roishi Kanal. Shehu Bechinas Shleimus HaMeichin. That symbolizes a concept of Shleimus HaMeichin, when the Meichin are filled with Shemen. Shehein Bechinas Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. The Meichin many times are referred to as Shemen Mishchas Kodesh. Bechinas Kashemen Hatoiv Al Haroish Ki Yaduas is brought in the Zohar Kodesh in the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim or wherever it is, Kashemen Hatoiv Al Haroish, that refers to the concept of Meichin Nikdusha. What's the association between Shemen and Meichin? Now note how this fits in spectacular. Yayin is the seven yuds of Ov and Sog. What is, which correspond to which two letters of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei? The Yud and the K. What is Shemen? Shemen is Yud Kei Pa'omim Havaya. 15 times Yud Kei Vav Kei is Bigematria Shemen. So we see that Shemen is also an inyan of the Moichin, perfection of Yud Kei. How many times Yud Kei? Hashem times Yud Kei. Yud Kei Pa'omim Chavov is Bigematria Shemen, exactly. That's why we find in the Gemara many times, Rabbeinu Zal told in the stories of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana about filling the 300 barrels of oil. Plus Meir Garvi, the Mashcha, 300 barrels of oil, that referred to the Gimel Meichin, perfecting the Chachma Bina and Das, or Kesa Chachma Bina. Oil is always a mean of Meichin, the Yud Kei. We say it when we put on the tefillin, V'shemen Toiv Torik Al Shiva Kenei HaMenaira, that the pure oil should be poured out, on the, should be emptied out on the Shiva Kenei HaMenaira. What is that Shemen Toiv? We're talking about the oil from the Meichin being emptied onto the seven lowest spheres. You understand? We're putting on the tefillin, which is a ticket for the Meichin. We're saying, U'mechachmoscha Elyain Tatzolai, U'mibinoscha Tevineini, U'guroscha Satzmisaivai, ומחכמוסה כלאין תצלאי ומבינוסך תבינני ובגבורוסך תצניסלאי שמן הטויב תורק על שירו כנאי מנאי ושמן is כלל the חכמון בינה. Now that should be perfected and emptied out onto the שירו כנאי המנאי the חסד גבור תפרס נסחו יסייד מלכוס. Okay, so now Rabbi Nezal says, Ki Dovor Hu Rosh Teva is the Shant of Hashem Raishi, which is a concept of Shleimus HaMoichin. V'zeh, now you understand how this pasuk fits together. V'yoyimer Hashem Solachti Kidvorecho Shehu Rosh Teva is Koisi Kanal. V'zehu Solachti Kidvorecho Shehaslicha the forgiveness Kidvorecho is like the Dovor. According to how good the Meichin are, that's how good a forgiveness is. And the Meichin being good is totally on Kaisi, the concept of a Kais. Now note, what does the Gemara say about wine and oil? Chamra Varechni Pikhin. That's not the wine and oil, that's wine and Bsamim. Bsamim is also Koyel Haneshoma Tahalel Kor, referring to the Neshima. But we note that these two items, wine and oil, are an inyan of Meichin, an inyan of perfecting the Meichin. Here, Rabbeinu Zal ties them both together in this Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says, Kidvorecha daiko kifi bechinas dishanta v'shem en roishi shata zeicha, according to the level of purity of Meichin that you're zeicha to, which is symbolized by this concept of dishanta v'shem en roishi. Hainu kifi ha-meichin she-zeicha ha-tzadik emes ayidei shtiyas hayayin, according to the type of Meichin that tzadik emes is zeicha to, through the drinking of wine, kemoikein zeicha l'slich ha-savoynos. That's how much the tzaddik is zeichet to be poyel a slicha savaynus, a forgiveness for sins. Ki ikar haslicha al yedei hachochma v'hamichin hakdashim shemekabel, because the main power of forgiveness is according to the chochma and meichin which he draws. Bebechinas ve'ish chocham yichapreno kanal, as the posuk says, ve'ish chocham yichapreno. Note that on Yom Kippur night we say the Maimar Hazayra Kodesh Kam Rabbi Shimon Solik, that whole drasha, where we say over there basically that even if we committed sins, there is the concept of the Baal who can be mefir, the neder of the Isha. In other words, we say that we can go up to the highest mokar, which is Chachma. We go to a Talmud Chacham. Why are we Matir Nedorim on Erev Yom Kippur of Rosh Hashanah? We go to the Chacham to be Matir Neder. We go to the Chacham for the Slicha Savinas, for the Hamtoka Savinim. That's what it's talking about. V'zehu Dishanta V'Hashem En Roishi Koisi Revoili. What's the next word after Dishanta V'Hashem En Roishi? That power of purity of the Meichin is dependent on Koisi, on my Kois Yayin, on the Kois Yayin that a tzaddik drinks. Now note, who can do this? Who is the one who has this power to forgive for these sins? A tzaddik emes. Note that the words Kois Yayin are Bigematria Yosef, exactly. Kais Yain is the one who has the power of Kais Yain. The power, this power of Slichas Avonais, Dafka the Tzadik, Yosef. Yosef is a symbol of Tzadik Emes. Note also that Kais is Bigematria Elikim. Kais is Bigematria Elikim. The Nekudais of Kais are Bigematria 70. In other words, Elikim is Kais. The word Elikim is Kais. The Nekudais of Elikim are Yayin, 70. Because Elikim, if you look at your Chumash HaSidur, the Aleph always has a Chat of Segel under it, which is 5 dots. Loi is 1 dot, Kim is 1 dot. And 7 dots, which is Bigematria 70. So the word Elikim has in it Kais Yayin, this concept of Malchus. What do we say always? V'yein Malchus Rav Gad HaMelech. Because in other words, when we commit sins, in a sense, we go into a state of chelem, like a nidui, yeah. Sort of. When a person's put in chelem, how does he get released from it? He has to go to a Talmud Chacham to release it, to remove the nidui, to remove the chelem. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a concept of taking us, releasing us from a bond, like the bond of an eder. Exactly.
Listen, there's one thing that's not clear to me. Like you say, like on Erev Yom Kippur, of course I believe in Jewish language, that the Kohen Gadol, which is symbolized in Aaron HaKohen, begins. But then you say later that the Tzadik Emes begins. Now, Aaron HaKohen in his generation, there was the Tzadik Emes because he passed away before his brother Moshe Rabbeinu.
True.
So how do you reconcile
this? The answer is that the Kohen Gadol is a concept of the Tzadik Emes.
Yes.
He is not necessarily the Tzadik Emes. That was, for example, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu was definitely the Tzadik Emes of the generation, but the fact that these two worked together, in a sense, Aaron HaKohen completed some of what Moshe Rabbeinu had to do as Tzadik Emes. You understand? For example, when it came to taking the Jews out of Egypt, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and he'll be your spokesman. You can't talk, he'll talk for you. So we see that these two worked sort of as a team. That's what it was.
Could you explain this, let's say, from the point of view, let's say, of the spheres, let's say?
Well, factually, at times, when you refer to Moshe, in other words, two very close buddies, in a sense, within the spheres, Netzach and Hoid, are Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. That's how close together they are.
Moshe Rabbeinu is Netzach.
Moshe Rabbeinu is Netzach, Aaron HaKohen is Hoid. That's why Sukkos, which is Onion of Hoid, Sukkos comes out on the 15th day of Tishrei. Sukkos is because of the Anane HaKavod, which one is Chus of Aaron HaKohen. The Zohar Kodesh said that's because Aaron HaKohen is Onion of Hoid. Hoid is Igematria 15. That's why Sukkos comes out on the 15th day of Tishrei. That's one of the Ramazim that's brought. Okay, let's go. Now, just a second. Vizeh, the Shanta Vashem and Roishi, Koisi Revoyoi. Kaisi Ravoya. Rabbi Nazal says, Bechinas Bonu Boesh Ubamayim Vatoitzienu Loravoya. There's a Pasuk in Tehillim which says that we went through fire and water, and Hashem took us out to salvation. Hashem rescued us. Rabbi Nazal says, Ki chein hoya etzel ho'egel. That was the case by the egel. The Pasuk says, Vayisroif es ho'egel, Moshe Rabbeinu burnt the egel, Vayozer al pnei hamoyim. And he scattered it. He ground it down, and then he scattered it over the water. He scattered it. Rabbi Nazal says, Rabbi Nazal quotes another Pasuk, Ha'umnom ilaim tzedek tedaberun. Shenase ha'umnis ilaim she'en lo dibur lehispoer. The umnis, the work, in other words, the art of work, became mute. It didn't have a dibur, it couldn't speak. She'en lo dibur lehispoer, it didn't have any dibur to show itself off with. Ki tzrichin la'asais dibur leha'umnis she'yucha lehispoer lamala. A person has to see to it to shine a dibur into work, into the umnis, into one's actions, that the person's actions should be able to show off in heaven. Ha'umnam ilaim. Umnam refers to a person's deeds, a person's maisim. A person has to see to it that his maisim should have dibur. They should be able to present themselves before Hashem as being good. Here it was a bechina of ha'umnam ilaim. The umnis became silent. It couldn't speak. 1 minute we're going to explain everything. Rabbi Nazal says, "V'nase elikim," and from Elaim, when a person is zeicha to shine a dibur into the Elaim, it becomes elikim. Rabbi Nazal says, "Ki ko heim hamoichin." The letters yud k refer to moichin. V'ze tolui b'shmiras habris. Moichin is dependent on shmiras habris. The Zohar Kodesh brings a lashon siluka the yisoida ad abo ve'ima, that yisoid affects. The effects of Yisoid go up as high as Chachma and Bina, meaning the Moichin, the whole Klei HaMoichin is totally in Yisoid. Note here, now you see an association already. We said that the Kais Yayin is what determines the whole purity of the Moichin, right? The Kais Yayin, the Shant of Hashem and Roshi, all of that is totally in the Kais Yayin. Kais Yayin is Begimatria Yosef, who is Shmira Sabris, taken up six times Yud Kei Vav Kei, standing for Yisoid. Rabbi Nazal says, Ki Shiftei Ko Eidos LeYisrael al Pigam HaBriz Kemuva B'Pirash Rashi Parshas Pinchas. How do we know that Yisoid, that the Tikkun HaBriz is what affects the Moichin? We said Yud Kei symbolizes the Moichin. When Hashem wanted to show off the Shmiras HaBriz of the Shilotim, what did he do to each one of their names? He tacked on Yud Kei to each one of their names. The Pasuk says Hor Uveini Hashemoini, and so on and so forth. Hashem tacked on a hay in front or yudin back. And the Pasuk says about that, Shiftei Ka Eidus LeYisrael. That the fact that they were called Shiftei Ka, a yud kei was added onto their names, testified to their purity. The fact that Reuven, who seemed to be Chilel Yitzui Aviv, baloney, he was pure in Tikkun HaBris. Yosef, who seemed to be Mesalsel B'Saroysev, the whole incident with Potiphera, purity in Tikkun HaBris was shown off by the addition of Yud Kei. So we see that these two go together. Tikkun HaBris is related to the Yud Kei, which is the Meichin. Exactly. Testifies for their purity of Tikkun HaBris. That's what it is, exactly. Chas v'shalom, it doesn't mean the other way. Just a second. Put these on pause for a second. Rashi HaKadosh says on the words Mishmachas HaChanechi, over there it starts listing the Shvatim again after the incident with Pinchas, with the Magefa and everything, when Bilam came to bring about Pigam HaBris. So right after that it says, it lists off Vaidavar Moshe Olaz HaKoyim Barav Esmoya Vayad Nirechoy, everybody from 20 years over, and it starts listing Ruvein B'chor Yisrael B'nei Ruvein Chanoich Mishpachas HaChanechi follow Mishpachas HaPalu Chetzroin HaChatzroini Chami Ha. It adds a Yud Kei to each one of the names. Rashi HaKadosh says Lefi Shehoyu HaUmais Mevaznoisam, because the Umais used to insult B'nei Yisrael Vayimrim, and they said Ma Elu Misyachsen Al Shifteim. What are these guys making such a big deal? They say that they're pure, they're divided in tribes, and even within tribes they don't intermarry, they keep themselves so unique, so aristocratic. Svurin hein shalei sholto hamitzrim b'umaisehem. They think that the Egyptians didn't have any shlita on them. Im begufam hayu moishlim kal v'chaymer b'nishayseyem. Whereas the Umas Ha'ilam said, if the Mitzriim were able to have a shlita over the guf of Bnei Yisrael, they were able to make the men work to determine how their bodies operated, certainly the Egyptians were able to do whatever they wanted with the wives, you understand? If they had control over the men themselves, certainly they were able to boss around the wives and use the wives in any illicit way that they would want. Lefikach hitil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmoy Aleihem. That's why Hashem placed his name upon Bnei Yisrael. Hey mitzad zeh, v'yud mitzad zeh. The letter hey on one side, letter yud on the other side. Loimar, to state, Meid ani aleihem, I testify about them. Sheheim b'nei avoisehem, they are the sons of their parents. V'zehu shemafurash ha'yidei David shiftei ko edus l'Yisrael. About this is written the pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech said shiftei ko edus l'Yisrael. Hashem hazeh meid aleihem l'shiftehem. Lefikach b'kulam kosav ha'chanechi ha'palui Avol b'yemini. By Yimna, it didn't have to say Mishpachas HaYemini. Why? Lefi Shehashem Kavu Aboy Yud Bereisho B'Sayf. His name Yimna has a Yud and Hey automatically in the beginning. Therefore, it didn't have to tack on an additional Yud and Hey. So we see that when did this incident take place? Right after the whole incident with Bilam trying to bring, you know, the Iznus upon Bnei Israel. Period. End of topic. Now you'll note that over here it's very choppy. This whole piece of the Torah in the beginning, and now it's getting choppy, and it's going to get still more choppy. I'm saying you'll see. Rav Moses, I was going to say all of this was only written Rosh Prokim. We'll see in a minute. Only like only bits and pieces. In other words, an abbreviated version of what Rav Nizal said, because they didn't write it down well enough at the time. Rav Nizal picks up in discussing these. The Kaddish now. In Kaddish, we say Bi'olma Divaro Chirusei, in the world which Hashem created. Now, by the way, this is very important, a note to people. I know by me, up to a certain point in life, I didn't know the translation of the words in Kaddish. And when you don't know it, it has a certain chashivus. When you know the taich of the words, that tefillah, you understand, is a very unique kind of tefillah. It pays for each and every person, whoever doesn't know it, to get to learn the taich, the translation of the words of Kaddish, to understand what you're saying, or to understand what you're answering to when you say, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabo. These words, Bi'olma Divaro Chiru'usei V'yam Kiru'usei, means according to your rotzlein. Hashem created the world according to his rotzlein. All different kind of things. This is a very, very important thing to know. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the part in Kaddish where we say Bi'oma Divero Chiru Usei, in the world which Hashem created according to His Ratzain, V'yamlech Malchusei, and may Hashem's Malchus reign. Malchus hu bechinas kavoid, kemoi shekosuv kavoid malchus chayameiru. Malchus is an union of kavoid, v'hu bechinas rotzayim. Malchus is also an union of rotzayim because rotzayim is kavoid. Retzaynoi shel adam zehu kvoidai, ki retzaynoi shel adam zehu kvoidai, as the Yerushalmi says. U'kishe adam mistapek u'misratze beretzayin Hashem yizborach, and if a person is uncertain and in doubt about what Hashem wants, Rak kemoish ukishodam ukishodam nistapek umisratze brishinas shemisborach. When a person here mistapek means meloshin histapkus. If a person is satisfied and misratze, totally satiated with whatever Hashem gives him, with whatever Hashem does for him, rak kemoish yisborach roitze. In other words, the person wants only, I want only what Hashem wants, azai mamlech malchusei, that person literally is mamlech Hashem. He's the one who crowns Hashem the most because he shows that he recognizes the greatness of Hashem. Just as we had before, the concept of hiskashrus to the tzaddik is to have this kind of love because it shows your emun in the tzaddik. In other words, such a trust. Love is something that goes together with trust. A person, let's say, trusts a wife. The trust that exists between them, that's what generates this ahava, the fact that each one knows that the other one wants only good for them. You picture by a tzaddik how much more so that's true. As much as a wife or a parent or anybody could want good, nobody knows what to want as good as the tzaddik emes knows. He certainly knows what's best for the person more than anybody else, and the fact that you know that you have that unbelievable trust, that's what generates this kind of ahava. That's what's mamlech Hashem kaviyachol. When a person shows, when I state the fact that bi'olma devaroch hiru'usei, I recognize that this is a world that Hashem created kiritzainai, and I'm happy with that. Whatever is the ratzon of Hashem, I'm happy with. Then the Yamlech Malchusei, that person is Mamlech Hashem. Ki Iker HaMalchus Meho Rotzayin Kanal, because the main Malchus is from Rotzayin. Rotzayin Yishol Amzeo Kvoidei, Malchus comes from the Rotzayin of Hashem, Kaviyachom.
Isn't Rotzayin above Keser?
Yes, definitely. Rotzayin is Keser, it's a concept of Keser. Rabbein Azal says, "Vezehu bi'olma divarach rusei v'yamlech malchusei ki ikar hamalchus humei arotzayin kanal." The main malchus comes from rotzayin. Avol kisheroitzehu adam ezer rotzayin acher chutz mei rotzayin Hashem yisporach. But when a person has outside desires, outside wants, outside of what Hashem wants for him, al yedeze naseh malchus acherim shel ha'akim. By doing that, chas v'sholom, the person is not satisfied within the reshus of Hashem. He's creating other reshuyos, chas v'sholom. V'sartem v'abadachim acherim. He's turning away from being satisfied, totally satisfied with the rotzon of Hashem. He's chas v'sholom accepting other ritzainis. Ukefi ha-ratzayin ho-acher, kein naseh eze malchus le-zakum. And according to how, to what degree a person allows himself to want things that are outside of the boundary of what Hashem wants for him, that determines to what extent that person is actually mamlech, chas v'sholom, a keil acher, a bechin of keil acher, a certain goy, a certain avodah zarah. Ki tzorich ha-odam levatel ritzaynai legamri neged ritzayin Hashem yisborach. A person has to see to it to nullify completely his own ratzayin to Hashem. Shelo yihi yaloi shum ratzayin acher. The person should not have any other will. Rak kemoi sheroitz Hashem yisborach. I only want what Hashem wants. That's the only thing I want. Note. Hein sheyihi eloi momoin ubonim, hein lav chas v'sham. Whether Hashem wants me to have money or children or not. Even when it comes to things like that, a person has to see to it to want only what Hashem wants. I want only what Hashem wants. V'chein kol shar horitzainais, and so too when it comes to anything else, a job, a home, anything, clothing, v'yirtze shum rotzayin achar rak kamay shor yitzah shem yisporach. The person should see to it not to have any outside rotzayin, to want only what Hashem wants, period. End of a topic.
Listen.
Yeah.
Like, remember I asked you, like
1 minute. Yeah, please come listen.
Like some people, they don't even think of what Hashem wants. They have their own ways, they couldn't care less.
Well, people aren't.
They're sick, and that's people, a concern when you're concerned, right?
100%. People aren't zecher to be educated, but we who are educated, We have to orient our mind now. Again, this doesn't mean, if this is the case, then how do I have any heter to daven for money, to daven for parnasa, if I'm supposed to be totally satisfied with what I'm getting? How do I have any heter for asking to change? A person is sick, you're supposed to be happy that he's sick because you believe that it's for his good. That's a tremendous kasha. Rav Nosson's our last step, he says, we'll explain it to you. In other words, you should know that the fact is that whatever you're getting is for your good, no question about that. But there are many times, Rabbeinu Zal said in the previous chapter that we had last week or 2 weeks ago, who determines in most cases what you get from Hashem? You do. According to your deeds, according to the type of keli that you have, that's what determines what Hashem pours into it. Meaning, if a person is chas v'shalom a rasha, and Hashem would give him good health or good things, that good could be blinding to him because he doesn't have a keli to receive it. He doesn't have strong enough kelim or good enough kelim. So the good itself could kill him. For example, you get a person who's sick. You want to give them steak, something that's healthy. Steak is a very healthy, for a healthy person, this is great. Give it to a sick person when his stomach is in a weak state, it'll kill him. The doctor warns, when you're sick, eat only the lightest items. Toast. Not even regular bread, because regular bread is harder to digest than toast. So you have to know that when you're in this state, what's good for that guy is not good for you. It could do you more damage than if you don't eat at all, whatsoever. If I give you a steak, it can hurt you more than if you fast. Therefore, many times when a person finds himself lacking in money or lacking in health or this or that, we have to assume that probably it's because of the person. So we ask Hashem one of two things, basically. If everything is in order, and if the fact is that I'm supposed to be sick and it's, you know, for whatever reason, then give me the seichel to be able to understand it fully, to accept it with happiness, to accept the will of Hashem completely. If it's mitzidi, if it's because there's a problem in me, and that's why you, Hashem, don't want to give me shefa because you know it would hurt me, or you don't want to give me good health because you know that good health would be worse. Exactly. Then let me be zecher to become better so that the hookup should be okay. I should be able to hook up to the tzinai race of shefa rather than the tzinai of din. Now, it's right now I believe that the din that's being exerted on me, it's to my good. If I would be given anything else, it would hurt me much more than the din that I'm getting. Then make me better to be worthy of getting chesed.
Why? So why would you want it then? Why would you want the chesed? You know, the din is...
Because the chesed is definitely better. In other words, between the two, in the state that I'm in now, this is definitely for my good. But that doesn't rule out that between these two items, between steak and toast, which is better? There's no question that steak is a better food. This guy happens to be sick. We happen to have to give him toast, steak would hurt him. You understand?
So you're not prepared if a person is undergoing suffering is definitely bad.
Exactly. 100%. It's just that for him, it's very good. We see him suffering, we daven, he should get better, he should be zecher to draw from the chesed.
Wow.
And this question, who else would dare to ask such a question, such a powerful question, and give such a solid, all-encompassing answer? Next week, in Hashem, we'll continue with this. We'll try to give the whole piece that Rebbe Zal explained on the Soid Kavanas Kaddish, which is tremendous. It gives insights to the depth of a piece of davening, and we'll try to explain how this whole Torah ties in, the beginning with the middle, the end, how all of it fits together in
this Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So this is trying to say, in effect, you shouldn't become complacent, self-satisfied, because
of course,
it means that you read it.
By us telling you that this is for your good doesn't mean that whatever you get, you stick with.
You read it, right?
Of course.
Satisfied.
Of course.
100%. So, as you're saying this, go on, what did you say?
Therefore, you should daven always to be zeicha, to be worthy of the chesed of Hashem. Because you're happy with what you have now, but you're davening to get to the chesed of Hashem.